Every single week on this show, I am just pleasantly surprised with the conversation. Most of the time, I don't even have 30 minutes worth of stuff to talk about. And then Justin hops on, we talk about one thing, that leads to about seven other things, and there's the show. We start with how to warm up and what that looks like now at 30 versus 20. And then we move into what strength programs are doing wrong, favorite day of the game week, and a whole lot more. Let's have a day. Let's go. That's Drake, you know, and the listeners know too. The listeners all are like, our listenership is really bought into, we want to watch Drake fight. He's talked about it for so long.
Yeah.
So it's like, everybody just wants to see him get hit in the face or see people get hit in the face by him. He took a pretty good shot to the, just a jab right to the face in the first round. It was, there's somebody, I'll send you a video. There's a, somebody who took a little bit of a video for it. But yeah. Want to know Drake Kulik? Who knows? You might see. It's funny to see where guys go, right? Like after their playing days.
Mm-hmm.
This is such a tangent to start the show, but I remember. I don't know if you were ever aware or online when back in like God, I want to say it was when I was playing when we were there. DJK got on like some Twitter rant about how he was going to like release a book. Or something. He was going to like write a book about his time at Iowa and how he got screwed over or something like that. And one of his teammates was on Twitter and tweeted something like, you know, it's crazy where guys go after their career and what they end up going on to do. And, you know, I have former teammates that are professional football players. One's a professional wrestler referencing Big E, like a teacher, blah, 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 scientist, whatever. And now an author of fiction. making all these claims that this person, I don't even remember who said it. It was fantastic. But like for us, I keep thinking about that. And I'm like, man, like, you know, Uyghurs is like a doctor, couple NFL players, Josie, Ike. I'm a podcaster. Drake could be, you know, headlining like a UFC card. At like 34, who knows?
Wild, absolutely wild.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to fight him, but there are people out there who will step in the ring. Welcome in 5-10-5 show. First 2 minutes, all about Drake Kulik.
Gotta Drake keep got him. The win though. That's why it's important.
Yeah, got to keep him a part of the show somehow. I was thinking right before this show, Justin, about the training session that I'm about to hit after this. And I was thinking about how at 30 years old now, my warm-up is sometimes as long as the workout that I do.
Oh, come on. You're wasting too much time. You're so mobile. You don't got to do that.
No. Like, it's not always about mobility. I will say, like, not a ton of my warm-up is like, mobilizing.
Gotcha.
Or, like, it's more – a lot of it's, like, getting the heart rate up. To like quickly touch a high point so that I can bring it back down and like so that when I get into the real workout, I don't feel like I'm on fire and like my body's going from 0 to 100. Like it's touched that in the last 20 minutes, so it doesn't feel so foreign. But then it's a little bit different with the CrossFit stuff than it is just like the pure lifting stuff that we used to do. But then I used to think about when we would roll into the weight room off of, you know, whatever, a kettlebell warm-up or a wall warm-up. And hang clean day, you know, and we would just load that fucking bar to 225 and just start ripping it. Like 225 was your warm-up weight. You got like, you know, it's like 285 for a double, 295 for a double, three something for a double, maybe hit a single. So you go straight to two plates on the bar and you just start cranking that thing. And I don't know if that was the smartest thing. It was the most time efficient, I'll be honest. Like when you're trying to get through a card and you got some stuff to do, there might be some GPP afterwards. And like, I don't think it was really ever detrimental. I think most guys could go in there and they were fine. I just think about now if I was going to do some hang cleans or some cleaning right now, walking out there into my garage and just loading 225 on the bar right away. No chance. No chance.
All right. Like, so warm up. We're going to go with like,
I want to talk about warm up a little bit because it was okay on my mind. Yeah.
So a couple things before we start. I did some CrossFit wads last week.
Oh.
Yeah. And I was like, you know what? This is going to help me with my MMA, so my kickboxing and my jiu-jitsu. Oh, and yeah, the first day was nothing more than conditioning. It was an 800, then 600 row, 600 meter row, 400, 40 kcal. You had to do that in 8 minutes. No, you had 10 minutes to do that. And then the next one, you had 8 minutes to do 600 meter, 500 meter row, 30 cal,
oh, yeah, love
400,
it.
400, 20. And it, I didn't know that there's a technique to rowing, by the way. I didn't know that you're supposed to row and then on the in back, because like that made it so much easier for me to get my meters.
Was the last of the third movements bike?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So did that one, did another one. So like, you know, the warm-ups, and I understand why, like, again, I understand why people do CrossFit, and the strength coaches out there that don't go and do it, because you'll understand, like, the average person can get so many things done in 50 to 60 minutes.
Yeah.
The warm-up
is cool too in a lot of places, which is what, yeah.
So the warm-up, and I talked about this in the book that I'm writing right now, but I also talked about it with Kelly Sturett, and you know him, right? From
you talked to Kelly Sturett?
Kelly was on the Cheeky Midweekie earlier.
Oh, shit.
End of last year. Yep. So Kelly and
he's
I
are a legend in the CrossFit space.
Yeah. He's presented inside Strength Coach Network too. But he was on the show and I loved what he said in this about warm up. And it all came from a notion of one of my assistants, Kyle Hashimoto, where the best warm up is literally just light movements of what you're going to be doing. So like you said, like, okay, if you're working up to a 295, let's start with, you know, what they kind of do in CrossFit. Like, okay, it's a PVC and then it's the empty bar. And then you like, it should be that way. And then you can start throwing in some other movements. So like Kelly was like, hey, maybe, you know, you go hit some of your squats and it's like, my groins feel a little wonky. Let me roll out or do some of this and then go back under the bar. And like, so something like that is what it should be done. And that's what we started to do at Towson, because like I said, my assistant brought it up to me. He was always trying to learn. Another thing that I stole from him in terms of warm up. Remember how we would always do like, we'd roll, do some in place stuff, and then do like the traveling high knee run, karaoke, all that stuff.
Yep.
What we did and what I really loved and did it during the summer with the South Hamilton kids and with Centennial during the season, you do an in-place movement and then you do a traveling drill. In-place movement, traveling drill. So like, hey, body weight squat, high knee run. On the other end, let's do heel up grab, high knee karaoke. In here, let's do lateral lunge, high knee karaoke back. And it's just a really good way to get you warmed up. But then once you get into the facility, yeah, like, in hindsight, it should have been done better. I hope it's done better, but I don't think it is.
There's things like that I try to think about, because it's easy to go back and pick now, like nitpick now, especially on a personal level, like where it's only relevant to me now at 30 years old when I train in my garage. The confines of 120 guys, I mean, there's 35 guys in a group or whatever, 40 guys in a lift group, right? But that is so different than when you're programming for yourself versus for 40 guys. Time restraints, like, you know, like equipment restraints, different coaching, like there's
those don't exist at Iowa though. There's no equipment restraints and there's no coaching.
Well,
restraints.
That's true.
So like you could do that. Like you really could just be like, hey, we're going to go do this brief team warm up and then come in. And then you just can write it on the card. Like, and sure, I mean, it should be on Team Builder, not a lift card anyways, but like A1.
Yeah, they gotta fucking get with the times on that one.
I know. It is maddening that they don't.
And what does it look like? Cause I think Nick's talked about it where there's just iPads at every rack and you can log into your.
Yeah. So you get your, I mean, I have my iPad upstairs. I could go grab it, but you just log in and you then go to what's called weight room view. And so you would put the iPad on the rack and then you could choose, like, let's say it's you, Josie, Ike, and Bo all lifting at the rack. You could have it where all four of you can view your workout right there. Or you could be, all right, Kluver, it's just you at the rack. You can have it just bigger or two. So it's one, two, or four.
That's so sick, by the way.
But, and it also, now we're not handing you anything at the bowl game or when you're away. It's just open the Team Builder app on your phone, and it's got videos there. It's so much easier to edit. The fact that they're not using cards is...
Oh, for you guys, it's probably on the back end of programming. It is, way easier.
Yeah, and you just don't also have to wait on printing lift cards, right?
Like 120 lift cards.
Yeah, and it's just like it's just a very archaic process. But in terms of it, you could just have A1 hang power clean, A2 mobility choice. Like do what you need to do.
Yeah.
Exercise, A3 could be if we were doing a cable chop and then, okay, get back to the bar. Like it's very easily done. You just can't be so boxy in your thinking.
Yeah. I like the autonomy of that.
Especially when you have six coaches on the floor for 35 right. athletes. Like
it's funny that, you just say like mobility choice. I've given a lot of like my just average Joe just trying to get healthier clients that I program for now. I will give them a lot of choice. Like if I program them cardio sometimes, it's sort of similar. Like if I program something like you did CrossFit wise the last week and it's like, 400 meter run, 20 kettlebell swings, 10 pushups, 3 or 4 rounds, whatever. A lot of times like they'll be at home or they'll be maybe at the gym that they have a membership to, or maybe they're traveling or whatever it is. And so like that first piece, the 400 meter run, I'll just program cardio choice. Yep. Like, I think the autonomy of giving people a little bit of leeway of like, I can make this my own, especially like you said, okay, let's do a more movement specific warm up here. We're going to do squats today. That's our first big lift. All right. Everybody get a bar, an empty bar on your back and like go down and kind of feel yourself in the bottom of a squat, like the hole of a squat. Like, is your left hip a little tight? Is it your right knee? Okay, cool. We've grabbed a little bit of data under the least amount of weight we could, but still doing that movement specific. And now go over to the turf and stretch your right knee out or get your hammy loose that feels tight on one side. And it's going to be different for every single guy. So you can't just say, hey, here's the mobility movement we're doing because if there's ever a day where it's like, okay, we're going overhead, everybody go do your overhead mobility. Well, great. I don't need to do that. Like I'm good. I promise you my mobility feels great today. But if we're doing like an overhead, whatever, my hip or my back or something might feel different, and it would be a lot better if I personally could do something different, So,
but it just goes back to that. You have to allow the athletes to have control and release that control and understand that you're not in control.
Yeah.
And if someone's not comfortable with that, then you won't see it.
Yeah. And that is, I mean, not just in the weight room setting, but just in life. That's a hard thing for a lot of people to do is just because when you give up control, then it feels like, for some people, then it feels like, well, this isn't mine, right?
But it is. It's yours in such a better way. And you're now, like you said, you're empowering. And now you, Tyler Kluver, or the athlete, is like, man, I feel empowered.
Right.
You want to work, like, you want to work harder for that coach that has empowered you and let you do your thing.
Yeah, the internal motivation to give effort and be a part of an environment like that grows a lot.
Gets me. Like, now I feel better. I'm going to lift harder. I now can move more weight. That coach can now show better PR results.
Sure.
Bada bing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think even when we were there, I would make fun of it. Like, man, we jump right into it, don't we? Well, you watch like some of those Olympic weightlifting videos, like they will start like the best in the world are like warming up for like the Pan Am weightlifting championships. And they're starting with a PVC pipe, and then they go to an empty bar, and then they go to 20 kilos on the bar, and then it's like, and these people lift 400 kilo, not 400 kilos, but 250 kilos, and they have punies on the bar to start because they work that positioning all the way up, and it's fascinating to me. There was days too where, and I understand it was the speed part of it was the speed work we were doing because we were. It wasn't just a warm up all the time. It was a warm up into speed work that we were trying to get better on the field. It all felt like a warm up, because it was like all in the same spot. And then you'd move locations to the weight room. And then in the summer, you'd move locations back out to the indoor, back out to the outdoor fields for the conditioning part of it. But man, some of those warmups, you'd get to like, you'd get to the speed work drill and you'd be like, son of a bitch, I am tired already. You know, like you're doing, everything was so like you better do it hard and you better do it fat. Like it's, there is no room for error right here. So I'm doing like my high knees at like fucking 120% pace, just like as fast as I can go. Like I'm being like, that's the test today, is how fast I can do my high knees.
Record rig.
And by the time you get to like your first ground start, like 10 yard, you're like, I feel like I have 50% of my battery right now.
That's wrong, right?
I know.
So wrong.
And for the longest time, I just thought, man, you are fucking out of shape, man. Like, like everybody else seems fine doing this, but like the mental game of, I don't know what my other teammates are thinking. I did start to dabble and like ask guys like, hey, how do you feel right now? Like mentally, what are you telling yourself? Because here's what I think. And I made the mistake of asking Josh Jackson. I'll never forget. Just because he was like the top.
Why were you guys in the same group is my question.
No. I mean, we're just out there for conditioning, right?
Oh, so, conditioning. Cause I was like, wait a minute. The semis and the skill guys warmed up in different areas.
No. Yeah. We're out there for conditioning, doing, I don't know, quarters one day or 60, something. Didn't matter for Josh. And like me being a performance nut geek, I want to know what the top thinks about. I am absolutely fascinated, maybe just in life, not even just strength conditioning, but everything in life. I love people who are the best at what they do. Like that is, I love just learning and hearing from those people. Josh was pretty good at what he did athletically.
Yes.
So I think we're in the middle, you know, we might be like, I think it was the break, you know, we get those, I don't know how long the breaks were, 3 minutes or something between quarters.
If it was just pure quarters. Yeah.
Yeah.
Game simulators, you had longer.
Yeah, so we're sitting there between, like, right after a quarter, and I'm like, Josh, how do you – I forget how I worded the question. I'm like, what goes through your mind when we come out to – like, are you ever concerned about the conditioning that we do? Or, like, or do you ever have anxiety about, like, oh, we have to run this many reps? And he's like, what do you mean? And I was like, okay, yeah, sure. That answers it for me.
That's like, exactly what I was looking for.
I was like, you're not, you don't get like, you're not worried about missing your reps or like, oh, I'm like my legs are going to hurt today. He's like, I mean, sometimes I'm tired, but like, I'm just like, dude, this is so stupid. Like last night I had trouble falling asleep because I knew we were running 1260s today. And you just wake up and come here like, yeah, I don't know. Tell me what to run. I'll run it. Right. Like I'll get it done. It's so. That's funny. So the warm-up thing was on my mind. Good topic for 17 minutes. I wonder, I'm going to put you on the spot. I wonder what else, not that people warm up wrong, but I'm sure tons of people do warm up plenty wrong. What do you think are some of the other biggest mistakes in the weight room, just from a macro level, like something like a warm-up or like what comes to your mind when you think this is like, if I'm going to walk into the average Division I football weight room today in 2024, on average, what is the one or two biggest things that will most consistently jump out at you? Like this could be so much better.
Whew, probably the overemphasis on the weight room itself. Like the fact that coaches don't do a good enough job on the field programming speed work and making sure that the weight room is complementing what is going on there. Because at no point during a football game or any sport do the referees just blow the whistle and be like, all right, y'all, let's get after it on the power rack.
Bring out the fucking bench press.
Like it's just too much of an overemphasis on what is done in the weight room and not having a good enough periodization plan and coaches just being like, oh, well, we're doing it this week. There are, and I'm not saying this happens everywhere, but that is the biggest common denominator, is way too much emphasis on the big lifts and chasing a number and then allowing bad technique to chase said number. And now you're training off of a bad number. Mm-hmm. That is the biggest problem in weight rooms nowadays, which is exactly why the minute I got to Towson, we got rid of the record board. That did not mean we weren't tracking athletes' progress, but we didn't have a record board because, like I said, your record is how well the team won and lost.
True. It's funny to think about that, what you just said, the chasing numbers with bad technique just for the sake of, oh, I set a higher number. And then now working an entire new phase or a, you know, program off of a bad number where you're like, okay, you had to fucking contort your body into exorcism positions to get this weight up. Congrats. Now your percentages are based off of that number. You're going to have to, every time we hit this lift, battle your ass off just to like get the reps done. And it's going to, you're going to struggle to like, maybe you get that one lift done and you get that done for the day, but everything else is just going to be limited because of what you had to put into that one lift. In my own lifts now, I've gone back several times in a squat cycle and just said, if there's any friction at all where you have to, you know, where the knees start to cave in, over exaggerating it, right? Like it has to look perfect. Or if it doesn't, you know, the time I, you know, for me, it's like, okay, when we get to about 315, it starts to be like, okay, the knees might start to cave in or the back might start to do something. I'm done. That's now my working weight. That's my perfect max. Now I'm working off of a perfect max where I do the entire cycle of just like perfect squats. And it's really helped me personally with like positioning and doing the movement right. And you can get better without like doing what you could potentially do. It is crazy. Hard to convince kids of that, of course. But again, if you're a good coach, you could probably get that done. Have you ever seen it go the other way? Where there's like some guy who's just so new. He's like, I'm not old school. I'm trying to be so sport specific where it's like, okay, but you probably should be in the weight room a little bit more.
So there was a coach that I worked with where he was big into Cal Dietz triphasic. Do you understand?
Yeah.
You know Cal? And so like, you know, at the end of Cal's stuff, it's like all of this contract, relax, you know, violent stuff. And it's like, that's great and well when you're a senior and you're strong.
Yeah.
But you have these kids that are doing a contract, relax dumbbell row with 50 pounds and they can't do a regular row with 100. Yeah. What are you doing? Just build their strength up. Like,
yeah.
And one of my colleagues and I, we used to be like, bro, if I have to watch this damn team do this row with this light, like just get strong. So like, and that's where you can go both ways with it. And I don't know which is worse because they're both wrong.
Yeah. That one is a little bit more funny to me because it's like they're trying so hard to be like, you know, maybe even, and I there's this thing in the strength conditioning world too, where if you can be like cutting edge or you can come up with this new technique or like a new way of doing things, you can almost like make a name for yourself in the industry, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a small incentive for coaches who value that to be like, oh, I'm going to change the game. You know, like, you know what? We're not lifting weights at all. We're only using like odd object. I don't think anybody out there is doing that, but you could swing the other way where it's like, we're only doing stuff that's sports specific. Like you have to move in ways that you move on a football field. Everything is like reactionary. That kind of program would get chaotic.
So to the listener out there, imagine this. Imagine if you had a house and you were like, hey, I want to build a new house. And you're like, you get this contractor and they say, listen, Tyler, I would love to build you a house. I'm a hammer only strength coach, right? Cause the hammer's that old school coach. And we're just going to, I know you need me to trim that, but instead of using a saw, this hammer, I'm going to hammer it really finely.
Yeah.
And it's just like, no, I want a strength coach or a contractor that uses his saw, his wrench, his
drill,
everything. Like use all the tools in a toolbox and don't be the coach that's like, oh, this is the end all be all. There's no such thing. Use them all. Use them wisely. I mean, most, like we talked about before, strength coaches day, right? Like, especially in season, there's some days, today's Tuesday, we're recording. There's no lift groups on a Tuesday. You're at practice, you're rehabbing guys. You are learning right now. You're sharpening your tools. So like, if you're just only like, man, I'm a hammer, that's a hammer. Well, then you're doing a bad job because everything looks like a nail.
What was your favorite day of the week? In season,
Thursday. Okay. Data recover, like data 100% recover, because then it allowed me to pour back into everybody, right? Mm-hmm. Like can kick the feet up, can relax, and then we can pour back into you guys. Like that was the best, because if you're not full, you can't pour into everybody else. And then it just built the excitement for Friday, Saturday when you get away from it, right? It's that when you're addicted to something and you don't get to have it, it's like, man, I can't wait till I get it. It's like, all right, it's Thursday. You know, tomorrow is like, all right, it's another home game. And so it gives you that itchiness again. And so that's the best part.
Thursdays were great.
Cause it was really the end of your week. You knew you put in all the work, everybody trained hard and practiced hard. And now it's like, hey, cause you can't have recovery without doing work. And we had done the work and now it was time to recover.
The specialist did I think I've mentioned this on the main show, but not a whole lot.
Ooh, yeah.
Considering we've done 600 plus episodes. So the specialist would do, and this was implemented in 2015.
I want to say it was Marshall. Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Coincidence. 2015 was a great year for us. We implemented a lot of good stuff. Cause it was me, Dylan Kidd, Marshall Kane. The three of us would go over to Kinnick Stadium on Thursdays. We would get like somebody had a key. I think we had a manager's key.
I mean, any of us had a key.
Yeah, I think we just grabbed the managers though, because some of them they just left it in the locker room, whatever. Bag of balls. The three of us would just go over, no pads, no helmet, but we'd have the cleats on. And we'd go into Kinnick Stadium. This is probably one of the most like cherished things that I had during my time at Iowa, was the three of us got to go into Kinnick Stadium and stand there in an empty 70,000 seat stadium. And just, it was almost like a therapy / visualization practice / like it was, we would go over and then we would kick, and we'd kick a few balls, like a couple. We'd take six reps. I'd snap six reps to Dylan. I'm out there on the yard line, snap it. I'd cover like 20 yards. It was just like a visualization rep. And we would literally go over like, what does it sound like? What does it look like? And it was one of those things that was that 30 to 40 minutes in Kinnick was like by ourselves. Just to be in Kinnick by yourself is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like have that opportunity. But then to be out there on the field, and it was so helpful. And like you said, on a Thursday where there wasn't a lot of classes, you kind of have wrapped up a lot of your school stuff for the week already. Hopefully there's no practice to worry about, no meetings. It's for you. It's 100% for you and at your tempo, and it's filling your cup up. And man, did it ever. And especially when it was sunny, and that sun was coming through the corner of Kinnick Stadium from behind the, man, I can still feel it. I get goosebumps, actually.
I have goosebumps right now.
It did fill your cup. And then it was just like, oh, that crisp air, especially now it's like cold.
Yep.
It's like I can smell what I'm describing. It's like a take me back moment. And that would feel
probably in a sweatshirt, sweatpants. You get a little sweat, but then you take it off and you're like, man, this feels good.
Oh, it just feels great. And then, it's so relaxed that like, for anybody who's decent, like a Division I specialist should be, when you're in a relaxed setting like that and there's no pressure, like every rep is pretty easy to like have a good rep. So like you see a crisp snap go back and you're like, man, this is everything's just good. Right.
It's important to do, because you're done with it and now you're like, yo, who are we playing? Because it doesn't matter. I'll play them right now.
And then you come back on Friday and you're ready for that fast Friday tempo and the urgency that comes with that Friday. You take that Friday, put it in the bank. Now all the work is officially done. You go over, you check your jersey. Your jersey's hanging in the locker room of Kinnick Stadium. If it's an away game, then you don't check it. But yeah, there was a lot of stuff about just the routine of being a specialist at Iowa that I miss, not even so much as the games. I always talk about how like my game days and the things I miss the most were like those afternoons in the summer where I was competing against Josie or against all the other semis in whatever we were competing against. And the game days were like, I'm just like a glorified fan. I just get to be a part of this. But like my competition was always in the off season. So yeah, there's, it's cool to always look back and you're always trying to do things better.
There's also a reason why Jocko talked about detachment being so important, right? Like he, in any of his books, he's like, he realized it when like his company command was like staring down the barrel of the gun. And then like,
they were like, on the ship.
Yeah. To like put the gun down and like see everything differently. And like how this are, again, we talked about Jocko Good and Reed and Extreme Ownership there, but like one part that didn't get talked about as much, I don't understand why, was the detachment. Like you can come back and see things clearer and better. And if at the end of the day, that's what you're supposed to do, detach. And you know, you can't detach if you haven't been attached to something. Like I said, you can't recover if you haven't been working. So using that day to truly detach and then come back, but that's why it needs to be on Sunday, not Thursday. Do that on Sunday, fill up your cup, be with your family. Then Thursday, think about this. Imagine if you had like a no sweat or kind of like a, you did a nice little body pump lift on Thursday, maybe yoga, maybe FRC, had an easy little walkthrough. Then at the end of that, you didn't even have to go get your own. You could go be out on Kinnick for a little bit, be done with it. Like,
I know. Yeah.
Just saying, man.
One of my, this is just selfish for me, but I still every day when I'm training, a small part of my motivation is like, put me back out on the out. Put me on the outdoor right now. Give me cleats. Give me cleats. I'll run 60s with the boys right fucking now. I'm going to do it. Tuesday and Thursday are cardio days, like high, like aerobic capacity, sometimes like base building, whatever. I'm about to go do a DeMarco special right now. It's 12 calories on the rower, 12 calories on the bike every 2 minutes. And the next 2 minutes, it's 14, 14, 16, 16 until you bow out. Till you can't do it anymore. And when I'm in the middle of pieces like that, where it's like you're getting up to the high heart rate stuff, where it's like you are pushing the threshold, one of the biggest things I can hear Doyle in my head, like saying, like blowing the whistle and semi. And then I'm just thinking like, I'll go run against Jay Higgins right fucking now. I'll do it. I want to go lift and work out with the boys so bad. With those Eleiko, I just want to touch the Eleiko bar one more time.
That's why we got to get the we got to get this Central Iowa. We got to get a facility going so that way when the guys come back from the NFL, they can just go run with you, and you can be like, "Bah, I'm faster than you." Like, yeah, get faster.
Like
I'm
beating you. Shouldn't be letting a retired 30 something long snapper work you right now.
There you go.
But it is what it is. I'm fired up now.
Good.
I'm fired up. That's exactly what I needed before this session. Justin Lima joining us for the 5-10-5 show. Great show. You got a big day planned?
Yeah. Big day in the office, writing the, like I said, got a new textbook coming out. Got two of them.
Two of them.
Yeah. Human Kinetics reached out to me about a book on medicine ball training.
Oh,
so
wall balls. That's all you need.
Wall ball. Writing the two books. I got the
How much do you write a day?
As much as I have to.
Holy shit.
Got the Centennial soccer team coming in later in the day after school. Mm. They're going to get better. Little 1x20 session.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Squats?
Of course.
Dirty.
1x20 on a lot of different movements, my man.
It's maybe the most effective program out there.
Preach. That's your GPP program.
Yeah. All right. Hopefully you guys have a big day as well. Friday, Hawks got to get back on the horse here. We're going out to Maryland, and if they lose this one, there's just not a lot to say. We got to win the ball game tomorrow. We'll talk to you guys next week. See you. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.